Our reading is recorded in Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed, do you enjoy stargazing? Many people enjoy trying to locate various constellations such as the Big Dipper and Little Dipper in the night sky. When my oldest daughter was 6 years old on a particularly clear and star-filled night, my dad took out his fancy telescope so that she could look at the moon and the planets and stars. For some, however, stargazing is not just a hobby. It is part of their occupation. Before modern navigational equipment was invented, sailors relied on the stars to navigate their ships. Astronomers devote their lives to the study of the stars. For them, it is necessary to follow the stars. The wise men also closely studied the stars. They were astrologers who not only carefully studied the location of the stars and constellations, but could read their meaning and significance. In our text, a special star appeared in the sky. The wise men knew its meaning, the birth of a king. It appeared in the sky when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The wise men likely came from Babylon, where God's people were exiles hundreds of years before. Daniel and other believers carried with them the prophecy found in the book of Numbers: "A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel." As the centuries went by, the promise was passed from generation to generation. The wise men knew God's promise and understood the meaning of the star they followed. The wise men decided to follow the star, to find the Christ child, and to bow down and worship him. After a long journey, God led the wise men to their destination, the birthplace of the Savior. The star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was, and they saw the child with his mother Mary. This was not the type of place that the wise men expected, since they first stopped in Jerusalem, the city of kings, where the palace and the temple stood. Yet they were not offended by the lowly surroundings of the baby king. This was the humble birthplace foretold by the prophet Micah. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. By contrast, how easily we can be disappointed at the way that God has chosen to come to us. Sometimes we wish God would show up and give a great sign and show our enemies face to face who's really in charge. But that is not how God has told us he would come to us. He comes to us through what seems to the world to be insignificant means, in insignificant places, in a book, in the water of baptism, in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. It is easy for us also to become discouraged in this life, for we do not outwardly see all the benefits of God's grace. We continue to live in a world of sin and death. For this reason, the writer to the Hebrews calls faith the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. During our pilgrimage on earth, we are guided by faith that for Jesus' sake, God has forgiven all our sins. We also have God's sure promises that Jesus will return and of an eternal inheritance in heaven where there will be no more sin and death. As the wise men followed the star, we follow God's word, a lamp for our feet and a light to our path. God, through his word and sacraments, leads us to the Christ child. So the first gift the wise men brought to the Messiah was joy-filled hearts in response to God's gracious guiding hand. They were overjoyed when it stopped over that place where the child was. What a fitting response for those in the presence of the one whose birth the angels heralded as good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. A joy-filled heart is also our gospel-motivated response in the liturgy as we sing, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. However, in our daily lives, we fail to rejoice in the Lord. When we experience prosperity in life, a new job, a new car, a new addition to our home, for students, good grades, and many friends, it is easy for us to think of these things as the results of our efforts alone, that we've worked hard and now we're reaping the benefits of our labor. We forget that all these blessings and successes are gifts from God and that we are mere stewards. When we experience pain, suffering, and loss, it is easier for us to wonder, why has God let this happen to me? Or what have I done to deserve this? Than to trust God's gracious guiding hand to work all things for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. To those of us who are downtrodden by suffering and guilt and loss, Jesus invites us, saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Though we are inconstant and distracted by our own self-concerns, our successes and failures, God promises his faithfulness. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Just as the first coming of Christ brought joy to the angels, to the shepherds, and to the wise men, when he returns on the last day, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. In addition to joy-filled hearts, the wise men presented Jesus with material gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold was indeed a gift fit for a king. Frankincense, a fragrant offering to him as God, and myrrh, a substance used for anointing, but also for embalming, indicating that this king would die for his people. Like the wise men who offered material gifts, we also offer a portion of our earthly possessions and our time and talents to the advancement of God's kingdom. How are we to worship Jesus our Savior? King David wrote, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." In our divine services, therefore, let us receive the word and sacraments God has given us with penitent hearts. We bring before Jesus our broken hearts to receive his gracious gifts of healing and forgiveness. In this way, we join the wise men as we follow the star to find the Christ child that we too may bow down and worship him. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.